Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Bangkok, March 2011. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Maeve, Anne, Sarah, Suchin, Betty, Robert, David, Sangjun, Jonathan, and other friends.
I must admit, it's lovely to be back again amongst everybody, and particularly Ajahn. It's lovely to see you again. It feels like starting again, though.
Yes, all the time.
Starting again. Mm-hmm. So, maybe I can just ask you, could you say something about starting again?
Now?
Yes.
Seeing?
Yes.
Hearing, smelling, all adhammas that should be studied carefully, and it can be directly incited to understand the true nature of realities as not self. Not self. Just that which sees, that which hears, arising and passing away, never come back. It's like vanished.
Not loud.
Nothing is left from moment to moment. This is the way to have less clinging to the idea of self, because each one is gone completely. Very, very rapidly, always unknown.
But there is always more.
Again, always. New ones,
new ones,
just new one.
Yes.
Always new one.
Yes.
And different ones too.
I found myself thinking recently about the truth that Dharma is always there.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Anytime.
Yes.
It depends on understanding or unknown all the time.
That is actually a comforting thought.
Oh, the truth.
The truth. Yeah, yeah. The truth is comforting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. For those who are brave enough to understand reality as not self at all.
Or to start to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
To start
clinging to that which just appear and disappear instantly. And what is left is only ignorance. More and more and more and more. That's why we begin again, start again.
When you say what is left is ignorance,
yeah,
more and more, you mean the accumulations
from previous moment,
right,
to this moment.
Is gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is left is that which carries on from the previous one to another one.
Mm-hmm. And without wisdom, it is all ignorance.
When there is no thinking, there is no this room, no people, nothing. Only what appears as it is, like visible object cannot be anything, but only that which can be seen, who can change its characteristic. The more we understand the realities as they are, there will be more detachment. And there can be food of thought, like, where is the visible object? Because now it just appears, but where is it? How come to appear as this? No understanding, so it's only the thinking about that which is seen as something or somebody all the time. Where is it? Where is it now?
What's the importance or significance of knowing where is it?
To see how much there's no understanding of it. Just see it, but not really understand its nature and where is it. Otherwise, it's no idea about the arising and falling away of visible object. If there can be the understanding where is it, then one knows that whatever is there arises and falls away.
Can you speak again about where is visible object?
Mm-hmm.
There's no direct understanding or awareness of it now. There's just thinking.
But there must be other rupa with it.
Yes.
They cannot be just visible object itself. It's exactly the same like sound. Where is it?
It's composed of the four Maharupa.
Mahabhuta
Rupa.
It arises with the four Maharupa.
Mm-hmm.
it arises with them, but is it not composed?
A kalapa of a sound known as. How many is in one kalapa? So there's the four Mahabhuta Rupa plus sound plus what else?
Visible object when...
Oh, visible. I thought we were talking sound, sorry.
Always a minimum of eight rupas that arise together in a kalapa. So the visible object is not composed of the other rupas, but it arises together with the other rupas on the kalapa.
So it's a separate...
But I think the answer is, where is the visible object if it's not experienced? It's irrelevant. I mean, there are visible objects arising in each kalapa all the time, but if it's not experienced, there's no visible object appearing. Well, even if there's no understanding, if it's not experienced, there's no ignorance of it either. It's just not experienced because it arises and falls away instantly.
Oh, you say it's not experienced. It is experienced, otherwise there wouldn't be thinking about what is seen. Isn't it more that there's no understanding of it at the moment it is experienced?
Experienced just for a moment, very, very briefly at that moment, and then all those moments of thinking about what's seen, there's no visible object appearing.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that.
But it is experienced without any understanding. Yeah.
Right. Throughout the day.
Without it, how can there be the nimitta?
Right.
It's there together with the Mahabhuta Rupa.
Right. I see.
Ajahn, something that I often am confused about is when we talk about sati being aware of a characteristic, there is no naming at that moment. Simply awareness of the characteristic. So how can we understand that?
From hearing.
Because we name everything.
Yeah. But from hearing, there's the understanding that heart is experienced, right? It's heart. Without the experience, heartness, how can there be the experiencing of heartness, right? At moment of experiencing hardness in a day without understanding a lot, many, many times. But now, when there's the understanding of hardness as just a reality, and hardness is experienced, and there is awareness of it, which is different from when it just appears without awareness at all. So one knows whether there is awareness of it or no awareness of it at all in a day. Like now, hardness appear with awareness or without awareness of it.
If awareness does not name, is simply aware of the characteristic, it seems that that would mean that the sati just distinguishes difference.
Yeah, the difference between moment when sati arises and when sati does not arise. When hardness is experienced as usual in a day without awareness, one knows that there is no awareness. But when awareness arises, it experiences with understanding of that reality as just a reality. At that moment, nothing else beyond or more than that, only that which is experienced. But when there is no understanding, there is no understanding that there is that which is experienced.
So it is experienced as a reality simply different to another reality. It's the difference that is significant.
And when awareness arises, there is the understanding at that moment that there is awareness of it. Very natural, like any time now. So Panya knows at that moment that it is aware of that reality. And when there can be awareness of all realities, there's more and more understanding of each one as it is, as not self.
at that moment of awareness of the characteristic, there is no meaning.
No idea of difference.
Yes. No, that's right. There's no, we're talking about this, making a story out of it, but at the moment
just the
it's
nature
just,
of the reality.
Yes, yes.
And actually it's beyond word.
Yes. That's what I was trying
to say. Not necessary to name it or call it anything, because the actual characteristic is experienced.
Yes. Wordlessly.
So one can understand what is meant by the ultimate, the Paramada Dhamma. No name, only characteristic of each one can be directly experienced. No doubt either, whether there is awareness or not.
So if there is awareness of harness, each harness is experienced as different, is never the same. But at the moment of awareness of that reality that's experienced through the body sense, there's no knowing of any difference at that moment. This is just aware of that hardness that appears, even though, in fact, it's never the same as any other tangible object that appears.
I think when I was talking about difference, it was like the difference between hardness and visible object that Sati doesn't name, but knows that
the characteristic
just
as it is. Yes.
It seems simple, but it takes a long time to.
Right.
Is it Sati that knows the characteristic, or is it Panya?
Without awareness, can Panya understand that as it is?
No. But it's Panya that knows.
That's why, even when Sati arises, Panya is so very slowly developed. So what's the most important thing? Sati or Panya?
Panya.
But it cannot arise without Sati. And that is the essence or the core of the teachings, to understand reality right now as it is.
I think from past discussions, the understanding that is important, and as the understanding grows, Sati will grow as well. So as you said, it's the development of understanding that we're looking at, not a focus on the development.
Not hoping for having more Sati in
right.
there. Even realities are appearing now, it needs more words to condition right understanding of it. That's why there must be pariyati to condition patipati. Otherwise, there cannot be the pativeda, the direct experience of it. We are used to take realities for something, but not as it is. How many times in a day there's the idea of that which is seen is a reality, no body in it. No beginning, so it takes more time to begin.
So we should try to think.
No, whenever it arises, it's conditioned by understanding.
So we can say in a day there are many moments of sati anyway, whenever there is kusala, but without the development of panya, it won't grow.
Yes.
Because there isn't a clear understanding of what it is or what the objects are. So it's just by accumulations. There are moments of sati of the level of dana or sila, but there won't be the growth of sati without panya, which really knows about the different characteristics.
Samatha Bhavan, have you said to be kind of development of sati?
Sati arises with all kind of kusala.
Right, but
sati and panya.
Different level.
And not specifically Buddhist, is it? Samatha can be developed without a Buddha. So even one is developing samatha skillfully, one is not really on the Buddha's path. Because only by internet is the Buddha's way.
samatha, you mean the state of the samadhi?
Well, samatha in the kusala sense. Samatha like developing metta, developing any of the meditation objects.
Progressing
towards even jhana is not specifically Buddhist. It's not the teaching of the Buddha in that sense. I mean, jhana crops up in the suttas many times, but if it's only the development of jhana, even true jhana, not the imitation jhana people these days have, but the genuine jhana, if it's not allied with Satipatthana, it's nothing to do with what the Buddha really taught. Because even before the Buddha, people developed jhana. So samatha is not really the Buddhist way.
And what's the difference between samadhi and samatha?
Because we have been heard a lot about the illusion of the samadhi state by developing something so-called the samatha practice.
And can we understand samatha and samadhi by thinking or hearing about it?
So what I'm understanding, the patipati, or the understanding at the very moment, is like the state of in the samadhi itself.
And what's the nature of it, of samatha and sati and samadhi?
I don't know about samatha, but what I think about samadhi is one just knowing at the moment what it is at the moment, the truth of what is.
Is there samadhi now?
I would think so. I mean, the moment that just seeing what is and then feeling that when the thought is coming.
So what is the reality of samadhi?
Just seeing the qualities of what appearing, stopping.
Is samadhi citta?
It is a state of the quality.
So what do you mean by state? A reality, right?
Yes. I mean, perhaps there are a lot of jhetasik occurring together with the citta.
So what is the reality of samadhi?
The state in which that particular citta.
Not citta?
I think it's citta.
Is samadhi citta?
Is the quality of citta.
So what is it? What do you mean by quality? Because it's not citta.
I think it's not citta, but maybe one citta has different jetasika.
And what is jetasika?
What can I say? The characteristics which occur together with the citta.
But it's not citta, right?
But it's not citta.
So is samadhi citta?
No.
So what is it? You said jetasika, right?
That's what I can feel, but I cannot name it. What kind of?
Can you feel jetasika?
No. Because we just named it.
Is it only name or a reality?
The reality we feel is like something's appearing, that's all that we can experience. That is what we can do.
So it's your own idea about citta.
It could be if we understand like just the wording.
So what is jetasika?
As the Abhidhamma which I read from the Ajahn book, the jetasika is like something attribute to the citta. I mean, to distinguish the differences of the state of each citta to moment, but what could be those jetasika? Which attribute occurring together with the citta is also different from moment to moment, which is not in the control of anybody, or it's just happening by its own nature, something like that.
The chetasikas are mental factors that arise with the citta, and at any moment, at this moment, there are always at least 7 chetasikas, and these are the universal chetasikas that arise with every citta. And one of the chetasikas that arises at every single moment is ekagata chetasika. And this is what samadhi is. So actually samadhi can be good or bad, even at this moment, even while watching television, there is samadhi or ekagata chetasika arising at every single moment. So if we just say we're in samadhi, it doesn't really help us at all. It doesn't really make any sense. So according to the Abhidhamma, it's this mental factor, ekagata, that arises with each citta. So in order for wholesome samadhi to be developed, there has to be the understanding of what its nature is.
So all the jitasis is a kind of mental factor?
Mental factors that associate with or assist the citta. The citta is the leader. So at any moment of experience, there is the citta experiencing its object, seeing, experiencing visible object, hearing, experiencing sound, moments of thinking, and at each moment that citta arises, it's assisted by its team of citta seekers, and one of these is ekagata or samadhi citta seeker arising and falling away. So without the development of panya and sati, then for sure that samadhi being developed will be akusala. So we think when we concentrate on something it's kusala, but without any understanding, without any other wholesome factors, it will just be unwholesome samadhi.
Many people associate the samadhi with some kind of concentration.
So that's why Ajahn was saying, what about now? Is there samadhi now? There is samadhi now. Is it good or bad? Is it kusala or akusala at this moment? Without any development of understanding.
Can you elaborate about what samatha is?
Are you talking about what it really is, not what people think it is?
Yes.
So just very briefly, samadhi is ekagata chetasika, often translated as concentration. And samatha is calm or pasadi chetasika. So ekagata chetasika arises with every citta. It can be kusala, akusala, vipaka or kriya. But pasadi chetasika has to be sobana, has to be kusala. So it can't arise with unwholesome cittas.
That's a good question, actually. I just want to bring that point up. I was thinking about that. Doesn't samatha also include ekagata as well as pasadi?
Ekagata has to arise.
Yeah, but I mean, when we're talking about samatha, we're also focusing on samadhi and pasadi at the same time, aren't we? Or do we only specify pasadi?
Well, samatha is pasadi chetasika. That's what it is. Yeah, just right. That's what it is specifically.
Is that right, mm-hmm. That's my question. Okay, that's very interesting.
The other thing you mentioned was people thinking they can make it happen. Is that what you're questioning as well?
It looks like these days.
Yes, I know. If I say
that. I wonder if that's possible.
What is possible?
Making the samadhi state or whatsoever, that we have so many systems here nowadays, doing that, saying this word, and then the one can be in the kind of very quiet state, which so-called, again, as samadhi or something. That could be a kind of system, but which deliberately laid out by many, many persons.
When one would like to be in a quiet, calm state or have a lot of concentration, what is the reality at this moment? If now one would like to be in a calm or quiet state or have what you call this samadhi, what is the reality at this moment?
All those is just idea.
No, but if at this moment we would like to have this, whatever it is, this quiet or calm, what is the reality now at this moment of wanting to have this state?
The feeling of wanting is come after.
No, but now there is the wanting. Now yes. We would like to be in a quiet place or have the calm or have more concentration. What is the reality when we want this kind of state?
Just a matter of thought and the idea.
Thought with citta, with what kind of citta seeker, with what kind of mental factor? Thinking with loba.
Yes. This is actually come later on what is really happening now.
Later?
Let's say.
Or at the same time?
Let's say the seeing is happening.
But at moment of wanting, does it come later or at the same time?
I think it's come at the same time when the thought aligns. It's a thought, actually.
It's So it's just all thinking with attachment, that's all.
So what's the difference between meditation and one will be born in a Arupapum form and the Anahami is born in the Arupapum form after his death?
Different Arupapum for Anagami. They have a special one.
Pure bones.
The Anagami has a special Arupapum where they are born. The normal non-Anagami Jhana attainer can be born in a rip of Brahma realms, but not in the one where only Anagamis are born.
Anagami with the fifth jhana only.
Otherwise it's in the mind material rupa Brahma realm.
Can normal people who meditate after their death can be born in that realm?
No. Only for those Anagami.
So what's the difference between different level of arupa form? What are the similarities and differences of ditta of those people?
The karma of the anagami, that has no more attachments to sensuous objects, so the result, the vipaka, is in that realm of the pure abode realm, a particular rupa brahma realm where anagamis are reborn.
Did you say not all anagami are reborn there, Ajahn?
All anagami must be born in the Rupa Brahma, but for those Anagami with five jhana, only that can be born in what you call Suttavatu.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
With five jhana only.
Okay.
With first or second, third.
Oh, they are just born in a normal Rupa Brahma realm. Oh, thank you. Oh, that's interesting. Uh-huh. Very interesting. That clarifies a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's not.
Does he?
Only Anagamis can be born in the realm of pure abodes,
but
not all
of them.
Anagamis are.
Some of them can be just born in the first Brahma realm.
Second.
First, second, third, fourth.
Right.
Okay.
When we talk about the Satipatthana Sutta, for example, and we talk about whatever we read in the Buddha's teachings being about the development of Satipatthana. And so even when concepts are referred to, such as body parts or breath or anything, we have to understand that the Buddha is talking about samatha and vipassana, but the goal is the understanding of realities. And the typical response from friends, and I'm quite sure it's the same with Thais as well, is they then say that we say or you say this because your practice is strictly vipassana bhavana, and so that when there's a concept presence, it's attributed to nama and rupa, and we're not interested in the development of samatha. But of course, we would say they don't understand what samatha is or what the development of samadhi is. But when we talk about just understanding realities, or when you do, they say that's because a practice is just vipassana. How do you respond to this?
Can there be the development of samatha without understanding?
No.
So, do they understand what samatha is?
No. Because actually, if there is the understanding of realities, the value of all kinds of wholesome states is understood. Without desire or attachment or trying to have some idea of quiet or concentration or becoming an anagami or something like that.
People really do not understand what is samatha. They just know samadhi, but they don't know the difference between the kusala and akusala, samma and mitya samadhi. So they just want to develop or to have samadhi without understanding.
And the difference between samatha and vipassana is the wisdom, isn't it?
Samatha is not right understanding.
There is no panya cetasika in there.
Panya cetasika is not the spasati cetasika.
In order to develop samatha, there must be understanding of what samatha is.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. From the very beginning, the distinction between samadhi and samatha. Otherwise, one would take the Mitchha Samadhi for Samatha.
So one can develop Samadhi, okay? You asked if it can be developed. Yes, it can be developed. But because of conditions, akusala is going to arise very often. Okay, so what will develop? There will be samadhi associated with akusala. So one will have all sorts of strange experiences. If one wants to develop samadhi, one will concentrate on this, concentrate on that with the development of samadhi, but it's just micha samadhi. And one will have these strange, interesting experiences and maybe take this for a stage of insight, or that for a jhana, or this for access concentration, whatever it is, but not knowing, it's just micha samadhi.
So what's the reality of micha samadhi?
It's not the idea of thought to do something to create.
There is samadhi or ekagrata chetasika with each citta, right? So what is the micha samadhi? Lopa with samadhi.
Also ignorance.
Lopa, ignorance, attachment, mm-hmm. and sometimes with wrong view, because there is no understanding, no samatha, but they mistake it for samatha.
Robert, when you say that samadhi can be developed and there are strange experiences associated with it, is it samadhi that's being developed there, or is it just thinking?
Well, samadhi is possibly growing, because if there is concentration on one object, more and more repeated concentration, like focusing again and again on the same object, samadhi does develop, does become more apparent, and is becoming more intense.
That is micha samadhi. Yeah. That idea of willing it to develop, though, works against the anatta.
Well, it's not really, because what's happening is one is believing that it's kusala thing, but a kusala must arise, so a kusala by condition is going to arise. One thinks one's going one way and one's going the other way because conditions are what they are.
I suppose what I'm questioning is, just because one wants it to develop...
But one doesn't want micha samadhi to develop, right? But that's what is developing.
No, but why is there a connection between one wanting it to develop and it developing? Because things only develop by conditions, and wanting is not...
Including attachment is a condition, isn't it?
So, can anyone develop samatha without right understanding?
I would have thought not.
Never. Because there must be the understanding of the danger of the sensuous object.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise, no way to have the citta away from the sensuous object at all.
So, like starting with the micha samatha.
Right.
So anyone who develops samatha must see the danger of the attachment to the sensuous object. Any time in the day, see, lots of akusala.
Mate, going back to your question about how that relates to anatta, you could imagine being in dark, closing one's eyes is the path, and one closes one's eyes. I mean, that's not the path, but see, it can be still done, and yet it's anatta, right? It's the same question that you just asked me about how people can develop micha samadhi. One can close one's eyes, right? You see what I mean?
I think I was asking about the idea that one chooses to develop as opposed to by condition.
Well, you can choose to close your eyes, but it's still anatta. Do you see what I mean?
Well, it seems that we choose, but in
reality... Well, the same with micha samadhi too. It's exactly the same. It's conditioned by wrong view, the development... One believes this is the path because of conditions.
Yes.
And so that's the way it works, by condition. And although it might appear that there's choosing, the choosing's condition too.
I suppose I'm questioning whether or not there is development, or whether there's just a lot of thinking.
No, I think there isn't more intense samadhi also, my belief. Because why do people have these very unusual... things happening, you know, they see bright lights, or, you know, all sorts, you know, they go up almost unconscious sometimes. All sorts of strange things can happen, right? And I think that's an effect of samadhi.
Is it usala?
No. No.
Is it an accumulation? Is that what you're saying?
Oh,
accumulation of micha samadhi, which gets taken
as development of usala.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think it is genuine samadhi, ekagata, that is becoming more intense. Because people do these practices for many days, weeks, months. So I think there is development of samadhi chittasika, more intensity.
Mitta or samadhi.
Mitta all the way.
I mean, in a day, there's lots of development of mitta samadhi. For example, if you're focusing on cooking a dish or someone's robbing a bank or studying for an exam.
Yeah, that's more intense. That's examples of intense.
So that's mitta samadhi. Mm. But without wrong view arising with it. It's just mitta samadhi but loba. But the only difference with this is it's mitta samadhi with wrong view as well.
Right, thank you, Sarah.
But it's still mitta samadhi being accumulated, isn't it?
Ekagata chittasika is not just one intensity, right? It fluctuates, it fluxes up and down. So that's why I think it's obviously it is becoming stronger sometimes.
Can you explain how the samadhi is accumulated? I mean, I can understand if it's mitta samadhi, lopa is being accumulated, but how does samadhi
and
get accumulated?
And all other akusala chetasikas too, not only lopa.
We were talking about this last week, actually. On this topic, when there was a bhikkhu here last week, and someone was asking about meditation, saying his life felt a bit better now that he meditates. And I pointed out I go jogging and I've got a good job and these things make my life better, but I don't mistake them for the path to Nibbana. So that's kind of lopa without wrong view, as Sarah was saying. Whereas when people do these special techniques that you were talking about, that the Ajahns teach, it associates with wrong view because people really believe that's the way to Nibbana.
If I stopped focusing on my breath, that is wrong view as well, because I think that stopping doing that will lead me to the correct path, right?
Well, yeah.
So there's the idea of doing anything special, focusing on the breath or not focusing on the breath, then it's dangerous because it's wrong view that's being accumulated.
But if I have been accumulating, you know, but I'm always conscious about my breath. All right, is that all right? And if I always
it's dangerous.
Dangerous.
Because it's accumulating mitta ditti.
I know, but if there is do and don't.
I'm fantasizing about pure birds.
I think what you're saying is that if you decide not to, it is akusala anyway. So you decide to continue.
Right. So I just let it.
It's an excuse.
But when Panya sees that it's wrong, and then you've quit, then it's not akusala.
But if you keep making this excuse, then the Panya won't arise.
If I still continue meditating, all right, and I can see the anattaness, uncontrollable, and keep on changing of different stages of calmness.
Different stages of calmness, really?
At this very moment, if there is the attempting to focus on the breath in order to be calm, what is the citta at this moment?
Just like you have said, lopa. But if Panya understand that it's lopa, so Panya understand another characteristic of the reality. So just accept it as it is, right? This is how to understand each different reality.
Do we have to especially try to have more lobha in the day in order for understanding to understand it? Or isn't there enough anyway?
If I understand, no matter it's kusala or akusala lopa or alopa, I think that's wisdom. And if I see the shifting from lopa and then to another kind of reality, the shifting, it means the rising and falling away of a different reality.
Because we really have an idea that this is the practice, this is the way to Nibbana, this is the way to pure abodes. And so because one thinks it's the right way, one follows it more and more, and actually one becomes more and more disturbed in one's life. Instead of having more calm and more peace and more samasamadhi, in fact one's accumulating the opposite, more agitation, more disturbance.
one minds more and more about having one's quiet time interrupted, and actually it's all the idea of self that can somehow induce more calm. It's not actually understanding anything about calm. It's just this very strong desire for a result.
I think I hear you saying that to try and watch the breath is not a good practice. But if that understanding arises and then you say to yourself, I must not watch the breath, we're caught up in the same difficulty of trying either to watch the breath or not watch the breath. So trying to achieve understanding as opposed to accepting that understanding arises under different conditions besides trying. That trying will not make understanding. Is that what you're
just...
Yes, something like that. The idea of trying, Ajahn.
Not understanding the reality of trying, yes, as just non-self.
So when we try to watch the breath or not watch the breath, it's the trying that is
the object. The I, who's trying.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it's the Panya understands that. Yeah.
That, yes, then it becomes useful.
Yeah.
Becomes useful. Yeah.
And see the shifting of each different reality of trying and not trying, different moment arising.
And there is so much, Lopa, that we are always, I suppose, trying to find the way to develop understanding. We hear something, we think, oh, that's the way to develop, and it's not. But it's easy to make that mistake again and again, forgetting that it's not self.
And what's the right object of understanding? This is the point.
Anything that arises.
Now, reality right now.
There was some mention just then of shifting and watching, trying, not trying, shifting. I think I understand that the watching, the so-called shifting, is again thinking. It's not really understanding the nature of the arising and falling away of realities now. And I think that's a mistake that one can make, observing one's mind. So can you say more about that, Ajahn?
Shifting? Or what?
Shifting, yes. Sangjan was saying something about watching the shifting of trying and then not trying and trying.
It's shifting by itself or what? Mm-hmm.
Well, it is, but...
It arises and passes away, and there are conditions for the next one, yeah, to arise and pass away. What's the shifting?
Is that what you mean by shifting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Anne's point is if there's an idea of watching the shifting, then...
I used the wrong...
Okay, okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's
it
Panya
realized. Mm. You think okay. It's panya, or do you think it's just thinking?
First of all, panya will be able to differentiate between thought and the reality. I think, as far as I'm concerned...
You name it panya, but what does panya understand then?
Thinking is a reality, but story is...
Well, what does Panya understand at that moment of shifting or watching?
At this moment, we are talking out of our lopa to understand, or our lopa to make everything clearer.
So the object of understanding must be very precise. What is that which is the object of understanding?
The reality, the rupa and then nama.
What rupa? At that moment of understanding, it understands what rupa?
At the moment of understanding...
What rupa does it understand?
The rupa that is the object of the...
Which rupa?
Depends on that particular moment.
Okay, now what rupa?
Oh... So fast.
So no understanding of it yet.
now there is seeing, right? Visible object and thinking arising
so
after
you,
that.
You mean that now there's the understanding of visible object, right?
It's very dangerous to answer this.
True.
Yeah. No punishment.
Because, no matter yes or no, it's going to be
wrong. So you seem confident before that when you're watching the breath or whatever, this panya that sees the changing or whatever, right?
Is it very confident?
Well, you sounded like you thought there was panya that is seeing the changing of something or other, right?
The characteristic of understanding is from panya, right?
Yeah, so you believe you are having panya, right?
At this moment? Or
at those times when you were... Just
at
5 minutes
time,
ago.
At time.
When you're seeing the change or stages or something or whatever. Or
when meditating?
Yes.
Oh, at
what
that
do you mean
time,
by that?
There is no wordings. There is no wordings. That's panya or whatever. It's just understanding.
So there is panya, though, even though it's not in words, you think?
If there is no words... Yeah, there's a reality that understands it. I just cannot stay in that certain stage of, the first stage of Kanika, Upajara, Apana.
Kanika, Upajara, and what next?
Apana.
Apana. So
by names. We have to use names, right?
No, it's so, okay to use names.
Yeah.
No problem. I'm just trying to clarify.
Clarify what?
You believe those times when you're meditating on the breath, there's Kanika Samadhi, Upachara Samadhi,
uh-huh.
Apana,
uh-huh.
And these are, even though there's no words, this is associated with Panya, is that right? Or you're not claiming that?
They are both with Panya and without Panya, because
okay.
When I was very much younger, no Panya, but there was calm.
But now?
But now?
There is Panya now? I'm just trying to clarify what you believe.
It's a dangerous question.
Obviously, you can guess I'm a little bit skeptical about that, whether there's really panya.
What?
Sorry.